We continue now with our scripture reading, and it is taken from the writings of the prophet Isaiah, written approximately 700 years before Christ. Chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, if you would like to read along. A voice of one calling, "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The word of God for the people of God.
To our visitors, just to let you know, I stand no chance today with my sermon of getting us out anywhere close to what is a semblance of on time. So I ask that your gift to me today to be not get up and walk out on me, just let me through. For all the right reasons, the service is rightfully the right length today. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me. And hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, an elderly woman decided it was just too much trouble. And we've all been there, haven't we, times? I mean, I've got nephews and nieces that live back in Texas, and I don't know what it is they need. I don't know what it is they want. I don't want to buy them something that they kind of go, ick. So, I mean, we've been there. So she just thought it was just so much trouble in a way in getting her kids and grandkids presents that she decided to send them a check with a card. And we've done that, right? I mean, we love the little Christmas kind of gift cards now. Those are great. So a few days after she mailed all the cards to all her gifts and all her kids and all her grandkids, she discovered that she had forgotten to include the checks. Imagine all those people opening a card from Grandma with a note inside saying, "Buy your own presents." It pays sometimes to take a little more time to be prepared, especially at Christmas. And in fact, I want to announce this day, this morning, it's time to prepare for Christmas. It's time to trim the tree, check the lights, hang the wreath. It's time to dig out the decorations to put in the house and on the lawn. It's time to bake the cookies, make the fudge. It's time to hang the stockings. It's time to fill them. It's time to write the letter to St. Nick. Shop for gifts, wrap the presents, attach the tags, put on the bows. It's time to address the cards, mail the cards, receive the cards from people we haven't heard from all day, all year. It's time to make plans for that out-of-town trip. It's time to welcome the kids and their families home. It's time to practice the songs. It's to practice to play, prepare the lessons. And in fact, it's time to prepare for Christmas. As of today, we have 9 days to prepare for Christmas 2012. It's not a time to panic yet, but it's a time to start making preparations. But I wonder, with all this preparation that's going on, I pray that you will take time to prepare your hearts for Christmas. You know, I so love Christmas. I so love this season. I so look forward to it. I'm almost in depression when it's over. And yet for many people, I realize, and I hear them all the times in the malls and at work, they used to say they can't wait for it to be over. That Christmas is such a bother. It's not a blessing. It's full of headaches instead of hallelujahs. And I think it's all because at times we fail to heed the words that were spoken to us by the prophet Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for God. These words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist, and And they're not talking about a construction project, but a preparation of the heart to welcome Christ. So today I want to apply this call from the prophet to our need to prepare our own hearts for Christmas. I want to offer three thoughts and suggestions of how we can prepare our hearts for Christmas. The first one actually will begin in the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 15 through 17. And that's to become a child again. You know, after some last minute shopping for Christmas with her grandchildren, Grandma was rushing them into a car when 4-year-old Jason said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." He reached in and pulled out a brand new red beret. Well, of course, Grandma took Susie back to the store to put the item back where she had found it. Later at the checkout, the clerk asked, "Well, have you kids been good so Santa will come?" And Jason replies, "I've been very good. But my sister just robbed the store." You know, we hear that Christmas is for kids. And I sometimes wonder what is meant by that. Does it mean that as adults we've gotten too old to enjoy celebrating the birth of our Savior? I sometimes detect among some people a little sadness, a little disappointment, maybe a longing for the days when Christmas was enjoyed as a child. Yet Jesus seems to think even grown-ups need to be like children at times. He once told a man named Nicodemus that the only way to see God's kingdom was to be born again. And old Nicodemus had a hard time with this, but kind of he was thinking, how do you do that? How do I become a newborn? And Jesus said something similar to his disciples when they thought that Jesus was too busy and it was just too important with other things to take time for the children. And Jesus basically said, "Hey, listen, guys. You don't realize how important these children and babies are. Children are your model for how to enter and how to live in God's kingdom. Unless you become a child again, there's no way you will get to heaven." Nicodemus was like, "I don't understand what Christ means." Let me tell you what I think Jesus did not mean. I don't think he did not mean that there's anything wrong with growing up. There's a difference and a huge difference between being childlike and being childish. Children aren't always little angels. And Jesus is not discouraging anyone from maturing with age. In fact, I think there's a problem with many adults is we haven't grown up. They haven't outgrown temper tantrums or selfishness or unforgiveness. But despite all the negative things that you lay aside as you grow up, there are some things that you need to hold on to, no matter how old you get. And there are two of these things to help us become a child again. One is dependence. Children need someone to take care of them. They do some things for themselves and would like to do more than what they're able. But they depend on adults to do so much. And you know, frankly, in reality, kids don't really mind this arrangement. If you have good parents, you don't mind not worrying about food or clothes or how you're going to get to school. You trust your parents to take care of you. And I think children are a model for our trust in God. Matthew asks if there's a father who would give his child a stone if he asked for bread, a serpent if he asked for a fish. If humans know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more God who is in heaven will give good things to us. Children tells us that we need to become like children who depend on the Father, not depend on Him to do what they can do, but to depend on God to do what we cannot. To become a child is simply learning to depend on God. The other way I think in which we become a child again is in wonder. You know, children see the world differently. They're amazed at the most simple things, aren't they? A caterpillar spinning a cocoon. A falling star. a waterfall cascading off the side of a mountain. They say beauty in things where adults take them for granted. They hear the story of David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den. Jesus walking on water, and they're amazed. Tell me again. And at times, we're too old for that. As adults, we don't always take time to see, take time to wonder. We can be like Moses and walk past the burning bush. But instead of stopping, we hurry on and miss the living God and His glory. For many, this is why Christmas is just another day. We don't really take time to look at the baby in the manger, to think about who He is and why He came. I'd like to challenge ourselves to prepare our hearts this Christmas by becoming a child again. Not by being childish, but by being dependent on God. Taking time to look around at the wonder of God's world. The wonders are not just what God did back then, but what God is doing right now in your life. What a great way to prepare for Christmas. The second way I think that we can prepare for Christmas and prepare our hearts is to rediscover the blessing of giving. That's from Acts 20:35. You know, Louise May Alcott in the book Little Women said, well, Christmas just won't be Christmas without presents. And that's what's wrong with Christmas, some people say. Everybody thinks Christmas is all about giving and receiving presents. To be honest with you, I don't think that's what's wrong with Christmas. In fact, I think Miss Alcott may be right. Giving and receiving presents is a part of Christmas. But to have that and to prepare your heart, you've got to rediscover the blessing of giving a present. In Acts 20, the Apostle Paul is saying his last goodbye to some dear friends before he leaves for the church of Ephesus. He wants to leave them with words to help them stay faithful to God, to help them enjoy the blessings of God. And he quotes the words of Christ himself, words that are found nowhere in any of the four Gospels. Now, I don't know if Jesus spoke these words directly to Paul or if he heard them from another disciple, but it sounds to me exactly what Christ would say. Giving brings more blessing to the giver than to the receiver. Trouble is, our culture is a lot more into getting than giving. Kids make a list of what they want for Christmas, not what they want to give. We walk into Macy's, we spend a lot of money on presents and throw change into the Salvation Army bucket. We don't mind buying presents for somebody just as long as I get one back. If I spend $20 on something, mine better not come from the dollar store. We don't give gifts, we exchange them. I'm not telling you there's anything wrong to get a present or exchange gifts. I love getting presents just as much as the next person. What I am saying, and I think what Jesus and Paul are telling us, is that the pleasure of receiving a gift cannot compare to the pleasure of giving one. Getting is fun, but I have learned that there's no greater joy than giving a special gift to a special someone. I remember one Christmas when my children were quite young, and they got a very special gift from their grandfather. And they were so excited, and I remember, and he does too, the thrill that they had was the best gift that he got that year. The presents have long since found their resting places, but he still remembers that day. So let's talk a little bit more about the joy that will never fade. Giving a toy to a child who has no parents, giving food to someone that is hungry, when you share with a person that no one else remembered, when you visit a shut-in and no one else visited, when you give a card or a letter to a soldier overseas who is spending another night in harm's way, this is a blessing beyond any gift that you can receive. It is imprinted upon my heart, and I remember this as a teenager growing up in Lubbock, Texas. on Christmas Eve, and we can no longer do this anymore in our society, but at that point in time in this West Texas town, people would show up at this one place at 4 o'clock in the morning. You didn't have to sign up for it. You didn't have to be investigated. You didn't have to have a background check done. You just showed up. And they gave you a card with an address, and they put presents in your trunk and food in there as well. And then you would take that food and those presents to this address. And seeing the joy on the face of a father who opened that door that early morning, who now had something for his family, made it so special for me. I know we can't do that in these days, but we've all lost in its absence. I've heard of an American Christian who was living in one of the very strictly Muslim countries not too long ago, and last year on Christmas Day he had no church to attend, but he wanted something to do to celebrate. So he went and bought some candy, and he went out and gave it to the children on the streets. What a wonderful way to celebrate Christ's birth, giving to others. When you give, you're doing what God did at Christmas. Prepare your heart by rediscovering the blessing of giving. Enjoy the presents you get and the love that comes with them. But never forget the joy from a giving heart. The third thing I'd like to suggest as we prepare our hearts for Christmas is turn the lights on. From Philippians 2. You know, I love lights. I do. I love all the lights. White, all different colors, the blues and the greens, lights that blink, lights that shimmer, lights that do the wave. I love Christmas lights. You almost can't overdo it for me. As a boy, my family, we would get in the car in the evenings, and we would ride around in those parts of town where, you know, the rich people lived. And we just ride around and look at the lights in their yards and on their houses. And I love doing that. When Karen and I lived not that long ago, 20-some years ago, in a neighborhood of Dallas-Fort Worth in Arlington, we lived in a neighborhood where people really, we kind of lived on a canal system, and everybody would decorate with lights the backs of their yards. And people would line up for 3 and 4 and 5 hours to drive through to see them. Yeah, I know, I need a life. I love at times just sitting in my living room and watching the lights on the tree. I know, Kyle, get a life. But I love them. And Christ called himself the light of the world. And he also calls for his people to be to the light of the world, and Paul echoes that statement. He pictures the world without Christ in deep darkness. And the children of God as lights in that darkness. We're to live differently. When others are complaining, we are to practice being thankful and loving. Matthew 5:15 says, "Let your light shine before me that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven." What better time than at Christmas do Christians have a chance to shine in the darkness more clearly and beautifully. You know, there are those that you work with, those that you go to school with, those that we live next to who really don't understand Christmas. They don't connect what is happening then, what happened then, to what is happening now in their lives. Jesus' birth has little or next to nothing to do with how they live or how they die. Christmas is your time to shine, not by being self-righteous, but a time to show how this baby born in Bethlehem changed you and can change them. He came to give you peace with God and peace with each other. He came to give purpose to life and hope after death. Your job as a light in the world is to show others why he came and to lead them back to the light. And that doesn't happen by accident. Be ready and take that opportunity, however it presents itself, to share and show what a difference knowing Christ has made in your life. Why you love Christmas. Be ready to be that light, to answer that knock. You never know how we'll bring others to Christ. True story. About a month and a half before Christmas a few years ago, two 10-year-old girls were walking down the street. They were sliding on the ice and enjoying what young girls do on that day. They were talking about what they wanted for Christmas, the excitement of the season. And as they were walking, they just happened to stop and they saw an elderly man in the yard, and they knew him as Harry. So they just happened to stop and talk with Harry that day. And Harry was on his knees and he was kind of pulling dead weeds from a large oak tree. He wore a frayed woolen jacket, a pair of very worn garden gloves. In fact, his fingers were sticking out the ends, and those fingers were kind of blue from the cold. Harry told him that he was getting his yard in shape as kind of as a Christmas present to his mother. Now, his mother had passed some time before, but his eyes brimmed with tears as he kind of patted that old oak tree. He said, "My mother was all I had. She loved her yard and her trees, and so I want to do this for her at Christmas," he said. His words touched the girls, and soon they were down on their knees with him, helping him. It took the three of them pretty much the rest of the afternoon to complete the task, and when they were done, Harry gave each of them a quarter. It was all he had, and he thanked them for helping. The girls, as they left, remembered they often passed by that house, and they remembered that at times when they had looked in, it was kind of shabby. There was no wreath there, no Christmas tree, no other decorations. Just a lonely figure of Harry sitting in the window. So later that evening, they were thinking of Harry, and they too decided to start a Harry jar. And they put the quarters in it, along with other money that they had gotten from other jobs. And in fact, they even began to seek out jobs to make more money. 2 days before Christmas, they had gathered enough money to buy new gloves and a Christmas card for Harry. Christmas Eve found them on Harry's doorstep singing carols. When they opened the door, they presented him with the gloves wrapped in some pretty paper, the card and a pumpkin pie that was still warm from the oven. And with trembling hands, he tore open the paper. And to their astonishment, he held the gloves to his face and wept. This year, you can survive another Christmas season and complain about the bother, yawn when you hear the Christmas story, and be glad when the whole thing is over. Or you can prepare for Christmas the way the girls did, by becoming a child again, by rediscovering the blessing of giving, by shining like lights in a dark world. Jesus is calling you to prepare your heart. How are you going to respond? Amen and amen. Let us pray. Oh, we praise you, our Father, for making your divine truth real to us in Jesus Christ. We ask that what we do and how we live and the way we love may increasingly become a worthy response. Amen.